In the past few years, our world has witnessed horrible hurricanes, massive earthquakes, and unstoppable flooding. These natural disasters are reminiscent of the 10 plagues that battered ancient Egypt, one right after another. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll recounts the historic nightmare recorded in Exodus chapter 7. And he shows us how the sensational plagues weren't just about punishment, but they demonstrated God's power and protection as well. It's a lesson about the consequences of a hardened heart and the rewards of trusting God. Chuck titled today's message, Plagues That Preach.
None of the plagues softened Pharaoh's heart. None of them. From beginning to end, he starts with indifference and he ends saying, let the people go, but his old heart was still hardened. He stayed at the task of stubbornness. And believe me, he is a living example of what it means to reject the goodness of God. Okay, now let's go to Exodus chapter 7. And forgive me if that's necessary to say, for surveying something that really should take longer. But our study is not the book of Exodus, I remind you. It's the life of Moses. And therefore, I'm not interested in an in-depth study of the plagues, but just to give you an overview of what they experienced in the land of Egypt. Let's go to plague number one, which was blood, beginning at chapter 7 and verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile. And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. And you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking from the water of the Nile. Now, let me say that to the Egyptian, the Nile was basic to life. Not well water. Well water was often contaminated in Egypt, and even till this day, it often is. So the Egyptian often drew his water, both for bathing, cleansing, cleaning of his clothes, as well as drinking, from the Nile. Furthermore, one of his staple foods was fish. To strike the river Nile with blood is to hit at the heart of their diet. Water, a fresh supply of it, and fish, a fresh supply of that. And so God moved right in to the heart of their living, and he touched it with a harsh hand. Notice verse 20. Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded. He lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the water, there's the word now, all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so the Egyptians could not drink from the Nile. Blood was through all the land of Egypt. And just picture that for a moment. The place where you would normally go to draw your water can no longer be a source. The fish that you normally would provide for your families, ladies, no longer was available. This caused all sorts of difficulty, except for a little bit of water that was contained in the houses nearby. There was no water available. Look on the next page, verse 24. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. 7 days, seven nights, without a water supply and without the supply of fish. Now, for some here, you would say, that's all I would need. At that point, I would say, He is God, let the people go, bring back the fish, I'm thirsty. Let's go on now. I get the message, but not Pharaoh. Not on your life. Pharaoh, as a matter of fact, just turned on his heels and acted indifferently. See in verse 23, Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. Pharaoh didn't even give it a passing thought. He was hardened. So plague number two visited the people. Verse 2 of chapter 8, we begin with the second plague. If you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs. And the Lord told them that, verse 3, the Nile will swarm with these frogs, which will come up and go into your house, into your bedroom, and on your bed, and into the houses of your servants, and on your people, and into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. Oh, God, help us. Frogs in the bread. Can you imagine what that would be like? Verse 6, Aaron stretched out his hands over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. Frogs everywhere. Now you'd think, wow, that'll do it. But it didn't. As a matter of fact, God was even gracious not only to bring water back where there was blood, but to bring a removal of the frogs. Look at what He did. Verse 12, Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs which He had inflicted upon Pharaoh, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And they died out of the houses and the courts and the fields. And look what they did. They piled them in heaps. The land became foul. And when Pharaoh saw there was relief, he hardened his heart, did not listen to them as the Lord had said. And that didn't get to it. Now we come to the third plague. It's a curious thing, but it's a noticeable observation that every third plague was unannounced. Every third plague was a surprise tactic. Interesting. God occasionally will predict His plan, but on other occasions, He comes up with a surprise tactic, and that often gets our attention fastest of all, but not Pharaoh. Here is an unannounced plague, verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats through all the land of Egypt." By the way, the Hebrew term doesn't mean lice as you might have it in your AV if you're using authorized version. It is the word that describes a black stinging insect that would penetrate the nostrils and the ears of its victims. I suppose mosquito would be close, or like the black stinging fly that you often find in the North Midwest. The frequents around the rivers up there, if you've done any canoeing, you know what I mean, even the northeastern areas, plaguing to the campers. But these little tiny black insects carried with them a sting, and they were a nuisance. You notice, by the way, from the blood to the frogs, and now to the insect, there is an increasing in the affliction. There is a growth in intensity. It's becoming harder now to live with the plagues. So here comes a plague of gnats, or the stinging fly or mosquito. And there were gnats, verse 17 says, on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. Some time ago, we were having real health problems with some of our children, and we discovered through a series of tests that some of our children are suffering from allergies. I noticed that as I talk about this with others, that you or your family members have a similar problem. But in our case, as may be true in some of yours, some of our children are allergic, you ready? To dust. That's like being allergic to air. Really, dust is everywhere. And great steps have to be taken now of removing carpet from the room where they sleep and encasing the bedding to keep down the dust factor. I was sitting in our den some time ago, and the sun was coming in from the west side as it was sinking, and it brought a ray of sunshine right into there, and I just sort of rubbed my hand over one of the chairs, and just dust went everywhere. And I thought, wow, just think if every particle were a mosquito, were a gnat, think of living with that stinging plague. But Pharaoh did not soften his heart. By the way, verse 19 is the last recorded words of the magicians. They don't have anything else to say from verse 19 on. They said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He didn't listen to them, as the Lord had said. Now, at the end of the third plague and before the beginning of the fourth plague, there is a divine intervention. There is a protective clause built over Goshen. From the fourth plague on, keep it in mind now, there is discrimination by God protecting the Israelite while he plagues the Egyptian. Look at verse 22. "On that day I will set apart the land of Goshen." That's where the Israelites lived. "Where my people are living, so that no swarms of insects will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land." By the way, Christian, never doubt the protective hand of God. Psalm 91 says, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. I think that psalm is written with regard to satanic invasion. And the child of God who walks in the Spirit can walk without fear of demonic invasion. Walking under the control of the Spirit will remove from you the plague of demonic influence. That's the whole thrust of Psalm 91. And here's an example of it in Exodus. The Egyptians were under the black cloud of plagues, but the Israelites, from plague number four on, they're protected. Look at the fourth plague, verse 24. "The Lord did so, and there came great swarms of insects." Now we've got another species, in fact, several. See the word swarms? The Hebrew word means mixture. There was a great mixture of different kinds of insects. For example, there would be some as large as beetles, and some would be spiders, and some would be tiny insects. Think of that, ladies. I know some ladies who say, "Wow, if I had to live around bugs, they'd have to put me away." But you know, if you had lived in Egypt, the place where they put you away would have bugs as well. There was no way to escape from the mixture of insects. They were there by the multiplied trillions, but they were not in Goshen. God showed himself strong, but Pharaoh, verse 32, hardened his heart and did not let the people go, even though this mixture of insects swarmed the land. Man, I just can't imagine what it would be like to have that many pests in and around my dwelling. We have friends who lived for a period of time in the panhandle of Texas. They moved from that area, but lingering in their mind was a vivid memory of the Texas sandstorm that would come. They told us on one occasion that one night about dusk, a sandstorm blew in, and it lasted only through the night. The next morning it was over, and the skies were clear. The mother, the wife of the family, said she went to one closet, just one small closet, where her clothes were hanging, and she decided she would measure how much sand had come into the closet, which was in the house that was well insulated. After shaking out all of her clothes and sweeping up the sand on the floor, she got two buckets full of sand. That's in one small overnight sandstorm inside a closet. And that's common. Can you imagine shaking out two buckets full of insects night after night after day after day? That's a plague. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. You know what's remarkable to me? It just comes to me. The people of Egypt never mutinied against Pharaoh. Wow, he carried some kind of clout, didn't he? You never find a time where the people of Egypt went against their leader. And yet he was basically responsible for the plagues. Humanly speaking, he was the cause. And now, after the swarming insects, notice the next plague, plague number 5, a livestock epidemic. Verse 4. The Lord, of chapter 9, verse 4, the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. And the Lord set a definite time, saying, tomorrow, the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the morrow. And here's our word again, all the livestock of Egypt died. But the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Now, God has already removed the supply of fish, for a while removed the supply of water, and now has brought the pests of the insects, and as a byproduct, he brings an epidemic upon the livestock, so that verse 3, we should have read that verse, tells of a severe pestilence that didn't just strike the cattle. It struck the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the goats, and the sheep, so that there was no meat supply. Think of the bloated carcasses that were strewn across the land of Egypt. And yet, on the boundary of Goshen, there were livestock that didn't even get sick. The plagues of Egypt did not affect the land of Israel. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now, with the coming of the sixth plague, we have another unannounced plague, a surprise. They were not ready. They knew nothing of it. Look at verse 10. They took soot from a kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it toward the sky. And it became boils, breaking out with sores on man and beast. There's the sixth plague. The Hebrew says they were inflamed eruptions, ulcers breaking forth into skin pustules. So they were apparently deep ulcers that broke and ran on the skin. Not even the magicians were immune. Look at verse 11. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. Remember the days when we used to have boils? We don't have many boils nowadays. When I was a kid, we used to have boils. I remember suffering terribly from a stone bruise. Maybe that doesn't sound familiar to many of you, but on my heel, on two occasions, not just once, but on two occasions, I bruised my heel right to the bone. And from the bone, there grew a deep, pus-filled boil that finally came to the surface in a core and had to be lanced and a terrible experience. And almost by the time of the lancing, I got quite close to blood poisoning. Now, that was just on one area. I couldn't walk for a week and a half before it was lanced and for a while afterwards. But think of that kind of problem behind your knees, where your body bends at the joints, under the arms, at the elbows, around the waist, in the ankles, the feet. You couldn't lay down, you couldn't walk, you couldn't sit, you couldn't stand without pain. an incredible problem, the boils. And they came unannounced. Now, what one thing do you not want to happen when you have a boil? You don't want something to hit it. You don't want to be bumped because it hurts. Look at the seventh plague. Hail. Verse 22. Stretch out your hand toward the sky that hail may fall on all the land of Egypt, man and on beast. These would be the beasts that were dying, that had the epidemic and were in the process of dying. They would get the hail. Every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky. And the Lord sent thunder, sent hail, and fire ran down to the earth. The Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, severe, very severe, such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Verse 26, only the land of Goshen where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Here again is this divine protection over Israel. You think, well, it was just a slight hail. Look at verse 25, that hail shattered every tree of the field. It closes, verse 25, by reminding you of that. No, it wasn't any light hail. It was heavy enough to strip the trees and in some cases shatter them. Pharaoh momentarily broke verse 27 and said, I have sinned this time. And he even confessed his sin, asked for relief. But in the process of time, he only hardened his heart again once relief came. Verse 34, when he saw the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And so we have no break in his plan. The eighth plague was locusts. Verse 3 of chapter 10. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. If you refuse, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. He refused. Verse 14. The locusts came over all the land of Egypt and settled, there's our word, in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. There had never been so many locusts, nor would there be so many again. They covered the surface of the whole land, so the land was darkened. They ate every plant of the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. What was going on? Starvation was going on. Little by little, these plagues were attacking the basics of diet and reducing them to nothing, frankly.
You're listening to the Daily Bible Teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He titled today's message, Plagues That Preach. Keep listening because Chuck has made a visit to our studio to share a personal word of thanks in just a moment. First, I want to remind you that in addition to this daily teaching series, Chuck has written a full-length book on the life of Moses. It's called Moses, A Man of Selfless Dedication. It's 20 chapters long, and it's written in the engaging style you've come to expect from Chuck Swindoll. Plus, we've prepared a brand new Bible study workbook for you. This resource is part of our Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies. It's a spiral-bound workbook or journal of sorts, which makes it perfect for jotting down personal notes and observations. Many of our listeners are choosing to use this Bible study in a small group at church, and it's perfect in a classroom setting as well. One more thing, this classic study on Moses was recorded several decades ago, and we've transferred the 20 sermons onto CD. This collection of CDs is called Moses, A Man of Selfless Dedication. To purchase any or all of these helpful resources, just call us at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. Well, here in the U.S., we're approaching the Thanksgiving holiday, and it's the perfect time to express our gratitude for you, our valued listener and friend. Here's Chuck.
Today, I want to hit the pause button from my broadcast and talk directly to you. It's no exaggeration for me to put it this way. You are a treasure to Insight for Living. Our theme, in fact, this month has been Thank you for the gift of you. You and you alone represent someone who cares, someone who understands, someone who is growing and learning, and best of all, changing to become more like Christ. That thrills me more than anything I could name. So thank you for being you, for being there for us. And I'm not at all hesitant to add to this, thank you for your contribution, your financial gift. Thank you for being willing to dig deeply, and for some of you to give sacrificially. Believe me, I understand what that means. And my appreciation knows no bounds. Thank you for the gift of you.
Yes, we are indeed very grateful for the gift of you. If you'd like to reach out to Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living and make a generous year-end gift, let me give you our contact information. To send a donation, here's the address: Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Your special year-end gift will empower us to bring hope and life to someone desperately searching for clear Bible teaching. In this respect, you'll have a ministry all your own. Thank you so much for fueling Insight for Living with the necessary funding to continue providing Chuck's teaching. Our address again is Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. To speak with one of our friendly ministry reps, call 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues our biography of Moses, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Plagues That Preach, was copyrighted in 1975, 1978, 1981, 1985, 1998, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.